Rush you please, just grab your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We're starting off this series on what does it mean to be a Christian? What is a Christian? And because I'm a Christian, it should have an impact on my life. It's more than just a name tag that we have. It's more than just a title. We live in a day and age where everyone is sort of a hyphenated group, right? We have African Americans, Irish Americans, right? We have all these different things, that all the different groups that we belong to, and all the titles that we have. And probably the most important thing as Christians is we say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what a Christian means. It's, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. All right? And because of that, it needs to have an impact on my life. You know, I liken it to probably the other relationships we have in our life. If you are a husband or you are a wife, being married has an impact on your life of what you do, what you say, and how you behave. You know, I imagine if you went out about and all of a sudden someone came up to you, they've known you for a long time, and how shocked they would be. What do you mean you're married? John, how long have you been married? Put you on the spot. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. 53 years, we'll just go with it, all right? Yeah, 53 years, right? Imagine if you knew someone who knew you your whole life, and all of a sudden they're like, John, I didn't know you were married. Right? That would be right. Right? Because you're married, it has an impact on what you do and what you say. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, actually Jesus commanded, go forth and make disciples of all nations. We're not just supposed to just go out and just get people saved. Don't get me wrong. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? People need to hear that, look, someone died for their sins. To save them, to transform them, to come into their lives. That is important, but that is a start, not an end. Getting saved is not the end of the journey, it's the beginning of a new one. And in here, we are called to be disciples. Right? And what is a disciple? It's a follower. It's a learner. I love that. I love that aspect of it. We need to be a learner of Christ. Right? Lord, show me. Help me learn more of you. Right? Years and years ago, I won't tell you how long we've been married. I won't go that road. My wife and I have been married for a while. But I remember back in, when we were engaged, I was in upstate New York, and she was in Florida, and then she was over in Maine for a while. And this is before the internet. Remember the world before the internet? And we had to correspond the old-fashioned way. We wrote letters. Does anyone remember what a letter is? Right? So we corresponded back and forth, and it was all about, you know, because I couldn't see her, I couldn't talk her, I couldn't touch her. So all these letters were kind of like asking what she thought. And the whole purpose, and I think in the long run, it worked out well because I got to know who she was. Right? And I was able to trick her to who I was. She didn't find out until after we were married how different I am. But anyway, we corresponded back. The whole purpose was to find out, to discover, to learn, right? I want to know more, right? Are we that way with Christ? Are we that way with Christ? Lord, I want to learn more about you. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you do. Lord, I want to know how you love. Why? Not just that I can just absorb it, but that I can live it. I want to be like Christ. You know, we talk about freely, you know. People will know that God loves them. How? Through you. Some pastor said a long time ago, he said, you may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. Right? And can I tell you something? Overall, I think the church has kind of blown it some ways. I hate to say it. You know? But I've talked to the unsaved, and they're like, you know what? I tried church, and why would I want to be a part of that? Can I tell you, how many of you guys have been in church for a long time? How many have been in more than just this church? How many of you have been in a few other churches? All right, you know what I'm going to talk about. Because there's some churches I've been at where I didn't want to be a part of it either. Right? Pies. When I was in Bible school, I wanted to be a missionary. Can you believe that? I said, I wanted to go out and I wanted to have snake stories. You know, I wanted to come back and say, you know, I wrestled the Black Mamba, and I went out and learned this, and, you know, and I want all these wild stories to come back, and all the adventure and all that. And I was like, Lord, open up the field. And my wife was like, no way. And I told her, you need to repent. Get right with God. And so we explored out the mission field, and God just closed the doors. And so my wife was like, well, maybe God wants you to be a pastor. I was like, I don't want to be a pastor. And she's like, you need to repent, and you need to get right with God. And I was like, I don't want to pray, Lord. Do you want me to be in the pastorate? Because I grew up in church. Right? And I've seen kind of what goes on, right? Some of this. And I was like, I'm safer with wild natives than you are with a congregation. Oh, you're good, right? In some places, it's right. Don't judge me. And but we turn around and okay, Lord, is this what you want? And the Lord just opened up those doors. And that was 20-some years ago. And I can't imagine doing anything else. But Lord, help me learn of you. Help me do what you want me to do. Have your way in my life, Lord. So we're going to start in the book of 1 John chapter 5. And, you know, people haven't changed. And the question during John's time was, look, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does a Christian look like? Right? And I think so many Christians kind of stumble along the way. Right? They stumble along the way because they're acting like the world. They're not acting like they've been changed. They're not acting like these things. And they kind of flounder. And what happens is, if I have Christ in my life, and I'm living for Him, and I'm following what He wants me to do, there's a purpose, there's a peace that comes into our life. And without that, like I said, so many Christians, I think, are kind of lost. You know, using the idea of relationships. Right, I talk to guys. You know, they get married and they don't change. They're hanging out with the old guys. They're all playing sports and all that. And all of a sudden, like that, and they're like, "Hey, my marriage just doesn't feel right." Well, because you're not acting married, right? You're not acting like you're married, and no wonder why you're kind of lost in your marriage, right? And we see this same thing. Sometimes we see families with kids. Right? All of a sudden, you know, little Bobby or little Susie comes along, and I keep doing what I used to do. I'm just dropping my kid off. I'm doing what I used to do. Wait a minute. No, you're a parent now. Kind of act like it. Right? And you'll find the fulfillment and the joy that comes in doing what you're supposed to do. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'm sticking to it. John chapter 5 starts off, John chapter 1 verse 5 starts off with this premise that God is light. And we're going to go down through, we're going to read down to verse 10. We're going to see how much we can get covered here. But it's interesting, John really goes throughout this book and talks in contrast. Right? You know, we live in sort of a gray world. Everyone wants to know in the gray. Don't be absolute. Everyone be kind of wishy-washy. Right? We see this, you know, just listen to a politician talk. Right? They don't want to come out and say anything because someone's going to be offended. So what happens is we spend so much of our time in the gray, in the fuzzy areas. Well, you know, and no one wants to say, this is it. And John doesn't do that. What he does, he comes down here and says, look, he uses these contrasts. He's going to use the word of light and darkness. Big contrast. He's going to start talking about truth and lies. Big contrast. Right? And as Christians, I think as we go down through and focus, now we're going to fall short and we're going to miss the mark and we're going to do that, and praise God, He forgives. We're going to talk about some of that as well. But what I think kind of what's happened is we've stopped striving for the standards anymore. We've kind of just given up. And I think because of that, as Christians, we live kind of powerless lives. Alright, so we're going to start in John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So anyway, he starts talking about God is light. Well, wait a minute, is God just, right? No, what he's talking about here is the idea that God is pure. God is, we use the word, holy. God is separate from this world. Right? The word holy just means separate. I grew up with the term that this room that we're in right now is called the sanctuary. Has anyone ever heard that term anymore? The sanctuary. All that's a fancy way of saying this is a room that is set apart for the worship of God. Right? That's what we do here. And I know the big trend in all these churches have these multi-purpose buildings and purpose rooms, and it kind of drives me kind of nuts. Maybe I'm just old. But sometimes, I go to these churches and you walk in and it just kind of looks like a theater. Have you ever been in those kind of places? There's no crosses, there's no nothing. And it's just kind of, you're going to a concert or something. And I can't say that's wrong, but for me, it just doesn't, It's set apart. Here, that we have a room here that we set apart for the purpose of God. God is set apart from this world. He's not affected by it. The sin doesn't encroach on him. God doesn't change. He is pure. He is holy. He's all these things. And so in here we talk about that God is light. And in him is how much darkness? None. None. And so we go down through, we look at this last verse, we confess our sins. Because guess what? We need to acknowledge that, look, I am sinful. I have sinned. I have missed the mark of God's standard. Right? And all God's people said, yeah, Pastor, you have. Well, guess what? So have you. Right? I remember talking. I was asked to do a funeral for a family. They weren't churchgoers. And I said, look, you're coming to me. And I'm a minister of the gospel. I said, I'm going to share the gospel at the funeral. I mean, I'm not going to hit you over the head, and I'm not going to, but you come to me and ask me to do the service, this is what you're going to get. They're like, that's fine. We only have one request. I said, okay, what? They're like, don't use the word sin. And the lady's like, I don't like the word sin. And I was like, well, the Bible uses the word sin. And she goes, yeah, but it sounds preachy. I said, well, I'm a preacher. I said, it just means missing the mark. It means we've all missed the mark. So she goes, well, can you say that? I said, well, I can say that. So I said, the Bible says we've all missed the mark. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. The Bible uses a lot of words. Right? But we need to acknowledge that, because what happens in our lives, look, he says is God is light and in him is no darkness. So the problem is we can't have fellowship with God because we have that darkness within us. We have that sin. Right? And you say, well, I'm not so bad. Yeah, you are. Right? One little bit of sin defiles the whole thing. I had someone say, well, it's not so bad. I said, well, imagine this. I'm going to whip up a batch of chocolate chip cookies. Who likes chocolate chip cookies? You know what? I actually like the dough better than the cookie. You ever sit down with a bowl of chocolate of cookie dough? It's good stuff. Right? I said, imagine if I whipped up a bowl, a batch of chocolate chip cookies. They're like, oh, yeah. I said, but imagine if I only put a little bit of dog poop in it. Just a little bit. How many of you guys would say yum? No! But it's only a little bit. No, because it would ruin the whole thing. Right? You say, well, Pastor, that's kind of graphic. Well, guess what? Sin is pretty graphic. Doesn't take a whole lot. Bible says if we commit one sin, we're guilty of it all. But see, look at what happens here, because the rejoicing comes in. It says, look, if we, confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is coming to the premise of John. He says, look, we have a holy and perfect God and we're not. But because of Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship with him if we acknowledge that sin, we confess our sin. And the word confess here means to agree with. Say, you know what, God, I am what you say I am. I fall short of what you say I am. Right? And what happens is that builds up in our lives. Without that, that divide between us and God is strong. And in here, God wants fellowship with us. Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. Psalms 32, I'm just going to read the one verse off here. So if you want to follow along with the rest, you have to turn there. But Psalms 32 is a fascinating psalm because in this is a psalm of David. David had turned around and had an affair with Bathsheba and got her pregnant. To hide it, he brought home the husband and he was trying to cover up his sin. When that didn't work out, David had plan B, King David. Turn around and had the husband killed to cover up his sin. And no one knew. And David came up to the scene and said, "Oh, Bathsheba, you're pregnant. Oh, and your husband just died. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bring you in and I'll marry you." And everyone's like, "Oh, King David, how wonderful you are. He's a rascal." Right? He goes, "But look how wonderful. And I'll bring you in." And everyone's like, "Oh, King David, look how noble you are." And David knew that God knew, and David knew that he knew. Psalm 32 talks about because God sent a prophet called Nathan, and Nathan came down and called him on it. And David repented. This is what happens. Psalms 32, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." It says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned to drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity have I not hidden. I have said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." What a wonderful passage this is. Because here is an honest man who turned around and said, "You know what? While I was carrying around this sin, while I was carrying around this secret, look at what happens. I was so heavy." You ever felt that way? The heaviness of sin? He turns around and talks about his bones. He goes, look, verse 3 says, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long." That in this, that heaviness, that brokenness, that is sin. And ultimately, especially for us as Christians, what that does is break fellowship with God. And we have our sins and don't acknowledge it. It comes between us. Right? Once again, I'm going to bring this over into probably the most common relationship you have is probably a spouse. Right? Have you ever had something that happened between you and your spouse and you guys are kind of irritated with each other? I know it never happens. Right? You know, you get down to a point, you know, you're sitting down and you have the chairs by each other and you sit there and you're both like, well, you walk around the house and just kind of, right? Back in the day, every once in a while, my wife and I would disagree. And I was like, I'd show her, I'm going to sleep on the couch. Well, I'm old now. You know, so I'm like, all right, you know what? Enough of this. I'm going to sleep in the bed. But I'll roll over and I'll pull the blankets over and I'll just face the other way. Right? And all of a sudden, a day or two go by and it's like, oh. And after a while, it just wears you down, doesn't it? Right? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I don't want to live like this anymore. You know? And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Usually how it works is, okay, you know, honey, you know what? Yeah, I was a jerk. You know? I'm sorry. Right? Then all of a sudden it's like that kiss and make up. It's like, ooh, okay, this is like a nice. Right? And all of a sudden the air is cleared. Right? And all of a sudden there's laughter in the house. And all of a sudden there's that, honey, you right? Because without that sin piling up between, without the turmoil, without the strife, fellowship is restored. Folks, if we don't confess our sins to God, realizing He is holy and He is perfect, we have this wedge that comes in between us and Him. And in there, the attitude is, God doesn't change. He's holy and He's perfect. The problem is me. And we come to Him saying, you know what, God, I blew it. God, you know what, I sinned. I did something I shouldn't have done. You know what, I've allowed bitterness and these thoughts to come into my head. Maybe online you've gone where you're not supposed to go. Maybe I don't know what's going on in your life. But in there, by clearing the air, and that confession comes to Him and say, you know what, God, yeah, I agree with you. You know what? All of a sudden that peace that comes in and that restored fellowship comes in. And we're restored. And it's sweet. That's what David is explaining here in Psalms 32. That fellowship we have. And how important it is for us to have that. And so we talk about, look, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, us and God. Because God's perfect, He can't become like me. Right? And sometimes that's what we try to do. We try to make people like us. You know, we all kind of do this. I remember when we were kids. We didn't have a lot of sweets in the house. My mom didn't make, we didn't have dessert all the time. We didn't have a lot of that stuff. And my mom had a baking cupboard. Up in the cupboard, she kept her chocolate chips. And she had a can of cocoa powder, too. And as kids, we didn't know. We were like, oh, here's a whole can of chocolate. And so I took a big scoop and I put it in my mouth. Don't ever do that. I coughed up this black cloud of smog. But the chocolate chips, those were good. So we'd go up there and we'd sneak them a little bit. And one day my brother and I, the two oldest, we were eating them up. And one of my younger brothers came in. And we're like, he's like, I'm going to tell. We're like, don't tell. Because back then, you got in trouble. Right? We didn't do the little sit in the corner timeout thing. So my mom would probably be arrested nowadays for what she did to us, right? And I was like, you know what? Because you don't steal. And that was stealing. And so we're like, no, don't tell. I'm going to tell. Don't tell. And so my brother sat on him. And I took a couple of chocolate chips and I shoved it into his mouth. And he swallowed them. And they're like, well, if you tell, we're telling on you too because you ate one too. And he's like, oh yeah, but I said, doesn't matter. You ate one. You're just as guilty as we are. And he started crying. He never told on us. But my mom went up to the cupboard and she knew how much she had. Right? We thought we took like two or three every day. Well, if my mom doesn't bake for once a month, she came up there like, there's none in the bag. Right? And she's like, John! Lauren! I almost said my middle name. John, Lauren! Uh-oh. They used the middle name. Like, yes? Did you take some chocolate chips? I looked at my brother and said, you told? Oh, I didn't tell. My mom was like, I'm not stupid. But the guilt, what happened was I wanted to make him just as guilty as we were. And as Christians, sometimes we do that too. Because I look up, I'm not as bad as you, and you're not as bad as me, or we're all doing this. Everybody does it. Or we're only human. What that does is that breaks that fellowship, because God's holy and just. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we want to have fellowship with God, then we strive to be like Him. God won't come to us, but we go to Him. Now, once again, we will fall short. All right? But praise God that the righteousness of Christ is enough. That He took my sin and gave me His righteousness, that we can have fellowship. But here, there's some things I want to take a look at, and as we work these things out, because in here, in the book of 1 John, we're going to be back in John chapter 1. there's some things as Christians of how we should behave, and in here to have a restored fellowship with God. All right? The first thing I want to take at is, look, be careful where you live. You say, wait a minute, where did I live? I used to live down the road. We have some folks here who just moved into town, right? I can tell you where I live. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. Right? In John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The word I want to focus on it is if we walk in darkness. In the Bible, the Greek have a term for walk, and it's not just means one foot in front of the other. In it, what the term means when we walk, the term has an idea of the environment that we live in. Right? What's our circumstances? What's our condition? All right? And so in here, what he's talking about is we say we have fellowship with God. God, yeah, you and me, we're just like this. But my condition, what I live in, what I focus on, all those things in my life, my lifestyle, are in darkness, are in sinful, in selfishness. All those things are contrary to God. Look, if God is there and I'm here, we're not having fellowship together. All right? So in here, we need to acknowledge, look, how do I live? What is my lifestyle? What is my environment? And God, is this bringing me closer to you? Or is this causing a wedge between you and me? Peter talks about this as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says, "But he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Because God is holy, if I want to have fellowship with Him, I got to strive for that. Right? Now, I tell you, that's a high standard. And we told you, we're gonna struggle with that. But what I do, is it pleasing in His sight? Is it pleasing? God, I want to be where You're at. I want to act like You would act. Right? And none of this has to do necessarily, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but with the external. Right? The question is, where's your heart? Where's your desire? Are you longing for the things of God? Do you focus on the things of God? Or the things of yourself? Right? God says, look, I'm holy. You need to be holy too. Now, I don't want to discourage you, because like I said, we will all falter and stumble in all this. Alright? I'm not saying for God to love you, you have to be perfect. Actually, just contrary. God loves you even though you're not perfect. That's a wonderful thing. That even though I falter and stumble, God still loves me. Why? I don't know. Right? You might think I'm lovable. Well, talk to my wife, she'll tell you. You know? But we turn around and we look. But in this, the gospel says that for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. See, I don't have to wait to have fellowship with God to be perfect, because Christ has already deemed me perfect. He has cleansed me. He has paid for my sin. And so in here we come to His presence on the authority, on the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so because of that, I can have fellowship with Him. Right? But the question is, how do I live? Am I living it? Am I behaving in such a way? Am I careful when without in the environment that I am? You know, am I going places that God's not happy with? Am I dwelling on, thinking on things? Am I listening? Am I reading? Am I doing these things in my life? The things that are pleasing to God? Or not. Right? So be careful of where you walk. I mean, take a look here. Second thing. Be careful where you step. Be careful where you step. Alright? Growing up, We're up in Dyer Brook. You know where Dyer Brook is, right, Dick? We lived in Dyer Brook, and out behind us, there's a guy that had a horse pasture. And he probably had about 12 horses in this pasture. And it was all surrounded by an electric fence, and as a bunch of boys. Now, girls, bear with me for a little bit, because you guys are wired a little different from us guys. Guys, you're going to understand this. We had more fun with that electric fence than boys should have had. We'd come out, we'd grab it, grab our friend, and we'd chuck them. We'd take grass and put it on it and try to, we could tell how powerful it was. We had all kinds of, we'd push each other into it. We had lots of fun with the electric fence. That probably explains so much. But one of the games that we love to play in... Has anyone lived by a pasture before with animals, livestock? You may appreciate this. We love to play tag in the horse pasture. We would take off our socks and take off our shoes and run around the horse pasture. How many know where I'm going with this? All right, good. I want to see how much I actually have to say and how much I can say without saying. Because the fun was, you wanted to walk around. We didn't care about tagging each other. It was to see who was going to step in horse exhaust around the field. All right? Be careful where you step. Say, Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with 1 John? Actually, I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul tells the Ephesians here, look, you're in the world. Right, God? If God wanted you, He could have saved us and taken us out, but He left us here. We're here for a purpose and for a cause. We are missionaries in the world that's around us. We are to share His love and share His grace to our family, to our friends, or to our co-workers. God left us here. But this world is a minefield. This world is a horse pasture. And in light of that, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul uses this word. He says, see that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. If I was going to translate that in probably a vernacular to fit along with all this, what Paul is saying, be careful where you step. Christian, be careful where you step. We're told in this passage in the scriptures, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That in here we're told time and time again throughout the Psalms that, Lord, you will guide my steps. Lord, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to tread? Lord, help me walk carefully. Help me walk circumspectly in this world. All right? Because as Christians, what happens so many times that we run through this world like a bull in a china shop. And we go running and we don't care and we don't follow. And guess what? Just like we did when we were kids. If you walked around without care for where you're going, you stepped in it. And you know what it is. Can I dare say, I've known so many Christians and I've been in there too, where I have run out unaware and uncaring, and I have gone off into this world, not following Him, not leading Him, not having Him guide my path, and guess what I have done? I have stepped in it. Right? And I dare say, I bet some of you have done that too. You've gotten your eyes off the Lord, and you've gone off the path. Be careful where you, what? Step. The last thing is, I'm going to behave as a Christian and I want to follow Him and I want to have fellowship with Him because He's in the light and I want to be in the light with Him. The last thing I want to look at this morning is be careful who you're with. Be careful who you're with. Years ago, my mom used to always tell me, she goes, you know what, John, be careful who your friends are. because you will become like your friends. You know what? My mom was pretty wise. I went down to Liberty University. I was down there for a year. The plan was I was going to be a science teacher. And I remember being in a chapel, being in assembly. We had 5,000 students in the building. And he turned around and Jerry Falwell was the speaker. And he came up because I want to tell you guys something. So many of you are from all types of different parts of the world. Many of you come from different backgrounds. Some of you have come from Christian homes. Some of you have not. Some of you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you have not. Just because you're here doesn't mean that you're a Christian. He goes, well, I'll tell you, my experience has been that within a few short period of weeks, of just weeks, you will find people who are just like you. If you love the Lord, you will find other people who love the Lord. If you are looking for trouble, you will find other troublemakers. If you want to rebel, you will find the other rebellious people. It won't take you long to find out people who are just like you. Guess what? He was right. He was right. In your life, what kind of people are attracted to you? What kind of people are you hanging out with? Now, be careful here, because we... You know, you just can't put up the walls and say, well, I'm going to be friends with Christians. That's what it's talking about. Actually, Paul told the Corinthians, he goes, look, you're in this world. Right? And you're going to have people who don't believe like you around you. That's okay. All right? That in this world, we're not going to all see eye to eye. But you are here, not to be called out of the world, but you are in the world, but don't be of it. That where you work or who you hang out with your families. Look, if you're a Christian and they're not, there should be some difference between the two of you. And sometimes that comes in the way. Right? So there's things that, you know, I don't do that. I can't watch that. I can't go with you with that. I don't eat that or I don't drink that. I don't do these things because I love Jesus. And sometimes that is hard. You know, we've been at family things where, you know, all of a sudden we saw some of the family whispering. It's like, hey, what's kind of going on? And because no one whispered at me. It's like, I asked, you know, what's going on? Well, they're going over to so-and-so's house afterwards. It's like, oh, well, I wanted to go too. Like, well, we're going to go in there. We're going to start drinking. We're going to start doing all those things. And we knew if you came, it'd be kind of a bummer. I was like, okay. Well, and then, okay. You know? But in here, we got to be careful of who we're with. We're going back in the Psalms. Psalms 1 starts off with this. Blessed is man who walks not in the counsel of the godly, ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Lord. His delight is in the Lord. Christian, because of who I am, because of who I love, there's people I don't hang out with. Right? There's places I don't go. I worked at the mill up in Louisiana Pacific. I worked there for 5 years. And there was a big Christmas party. And we're always kind of, you know, should we go? Shouldn't we go? There's a big dinner. They give out awards and all that. And so what we would do is we'd go. We went for half of it. We went for the food, went for the prizes, went for all that, kind of hobnob with the bosses and all that type of thing. But after dinner and after the prizes, they opened up the bar and things kind of went downhill pretty quick. I worked there for 5 years. And what we did is we came, I said, look, we got to show the love of Christ to these people. But you know what? We can't do what they do. And so what we did is we said, okay, at this point we're leaving. I don't know if they made an impact or not, but for me, my conscience was clear before the Lord. I want to give you a real quick test, because I've heard the arguments, right? That in there they'll say, well, you know what, we need to be in the world, I'm going there, I'm going to do all these things with them, and I can be a light to them, and maybe you can. But I want to ask you, this is going to sound weird, but you expect that from me now. I want to ask you, are you a noodle or are you a pepper? Think about that for a moment. Are you a noodle or are you a pepper? One of my favorite dishes when it's cold outside is a Vietnamese soup called pho. P-H-O. Some call it, it's actually pronounced pho, but everyone looks at it, it's called pho. Has everyone ever had, you know what I'm talking about? No. You know where the... It is a bowl, usually it's only like $5-6, depends on, you know. But it's a bowl like the size of your head. And it is filled with this rich broth. And they put noodles in it, these big, huge, long rice noodles. A little cilantro, usually some kind of meat or seafood. It is just warms up the belly. All right? And when we get this, on there it comes with a little cilantro, a little basil, and in that, they usually give us a little side dish of jalapeno peppers. I like jalapeno peppers. My wife doesn't, so I get all hers too. Marriage works. But it's interesting because you turn around and you eat one of those noodles, and guess what? It tastes like the soup. The noodles have really no flavor to them, but they take on and absorb whatever flavor is around it. Right? Christian, are you a noodle? Right? Are you in a circumstance? This is where we all need to be real honest, because we have different places. Maybe there's a place that you can go to, and you know what? You're not a noodle. You're not limp and just kind of go along, and maybe you don't absorb that. But maybe there's places where you go to where you just kind of blend in. You kind of just take on the flavor of all that's around you. Does this make sense so far? I don't want to lose y'all. Right? Don't be a noodle. But I'll tell you, I take a handful of jalapeno peppers and I'll throw that in that soup. Right? And I'll taste one of those peppers, and that pepper does not taste like the soup at all. It tastes like a pepper. And actually, what that pepper does makes everything in there taste like a pepper. Right? Christian, we need to be peppers. Do we flavor them? Are we influencing them? Are we impacting them? Or are they impacting us? And we need to be honest. Right? You know, and I picked that, we talk about going to this thing. I don't like to be around a lot of drinking. I have alcoholism in my family. In my past, I've had some problems with drinking. For me, to be around it is not a profitable thing. So I look at that, and if I'm honest, I say, you know what, I it's not wise for me to be here. Because in this area, I'm a noodle. Alright? And because I don't want that, I pull back. But there's other places where I go and it doesn't impact me at all. I don't get affected by it. Lord, help me be a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? You just aged yourself, because some of you don't know what that is. Right? Am I influencing or am I being influenced? And that's a test we need to be in all the places that we are at. Because, Lord, I want to have fellowship with you. If we walk in the light as His, He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Alright? In our lives, to continue that fellowship, Lord, help me confess my sin. Because that's what's going to drive us. I can't have fellowship with God because of my sin. Even though I'm forgiven. Now, don't get me wrong. When Christ died on the cross, He saved me from all of my sins. I'm not talking about salvation here. What I'm talking about is fellowship. You know, I talk about me and my wife, right? You know, even though she's mad at me, we're still married. Right? But our fellowship is affected. Right? So in here, Lord, help me to be a Christian. Help me to act as a Christian in our lives, right? Be careful where you live. What's my environment? What circumstances do I hang out in? Lord, are they pleasing to you? Or are they not? Lord, be careful where I step. Right? What am I getting involved in? What am I doing now? Be careful along the way. The last one, be careful who you're with. Can I tell you, Christian, these are very practical, everyday things in our lives. Lord, I want to have fellowship with you. I want to be in the light as you were in the light. Here's some of the simple applications that we can do in our lives. Let's pray.